Well, let me let you in the behind the scenes of how a typical sermon comes together. On Mondays, I head to Macomb, and I study with a couple other ministers. We devised a year sermon plan for 2018, last fall, and each week we use that plan as a guide. Most of the time, we stick to it, and every once in a while, we punt what we had planned and we do something else. These guys are great. We talk about all kinds of things. We talk about leadership. We talk about prayer needs. We talk about wins and struggles. Different ideas about events that we want to do. But most often, we just take a passage and dive in. Usually, sometime after lunch, we have circled around enough that we have a main thought and some other points that we can use. We then go our separate ways, and within a few days, we all have three different sermons, which makes sense because we have three very different congregations. Then there are days like this last Monday. Remember last week I talked about how one of our goals this year was to be rooted. One of the ways we become rooted is that we are growing in the Word. And I talked about how to be growing in the Word, we need to be washed in the Word. We need to be washed in the Scripture. We need to let the Word wash over all of us, and we need to be submerged and immersed in it. We need to wrestle with it. That God's Word is useful for teaching and rebuking. Does anybody remember that from last week? I hope. Anyway, I feel like a couple hours on Monday in Macomb, we were washed in the Word. God's Word washed over us. The three of us sat there and talked around and around and around. And we dug into the Word. We wrestled with each other. We wrestled with the Word over the topic of prayer. Luke 11, 1 through 4, it's where we're going to be today. It says this. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said, "Well, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food that we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." Anybody heard that before? Pretty popular chunk of scripture. Usually it's from Matthew, right? It's from the Sermon on the Mount. But this is that, right? This is Jesus giving us a model prayer. So what were we arguing about? What were we wrestling with? Well, it's kind of my fault. Well, it's always my fault, right? I just can't let things go. We were arguing about, not arguing. Arguing sounds harsh. We were discussing, trying to figure this out. Because in my mind, always, is what's going on in my life and what I've just come through. And so we have case number one, which is my son, Elijah. It's a nice picture there. And case number two is my friend Jill, or my friend Greg's wife, Jill, who just recently passed away from cancer. And I just wrestled and wrestled and wrestled. How do I reconcile this in my mind? You guys know, right? There was thousands of people praying for Elijah. Thousands. Every day, multiple. I had people who could say, "I pray for Elijah more than I pray for anything else." You know, I have that. I've had people tell me that. And I'm so thankful and grateful for prayer. And I know that God hears us. And I'm so thankful that God lifted Elijah up. When he didn't have to, the odds were stacked against Elijah. And for 4 months, we struggled, and we were at the hospital, and we were, I mean, just, my wife to this day has just struggles with that time. I struggle with that time. It was awful, right? But God saved Elijah. And then there's my friend Greg and his wife Jill, a church planner's family. They were doing the work of the Lord. They have a church that they are growing. And for 2 years, thousands and thousands of people prayed that Jill would be cured of cancer. And she lost a battle. So thousands of people are praying for both. Good, godly people, strong Christians, weak Christians, ministers, elders, non-Christians even. People praying weekly, some daily, some multiple times a day. Our families, both of our families are ministry families. So why? Why Jill? Why Elijah? I wrestled, and we wrestled for hours on that question. Side note, sometimes it is better to say to someone who has lost someone, I am sorry, or I am praying for you, or even say nothing and just give a hug. Any of those are better than God works in mysterious ways, or God must have wanted another angel, or anything like that. Please don't say those things. They do nothing but hurt the one you are trying to comfort. Even though what God does and His mind are a mystery, it is not helpful to say that to somebody in the moment. And God's enemy is death, so let's just give a hug. Say I'm sorry. Say I love you. Those are better. And then to say or imply that when someone dies, they become an angel, that's just terrible theology. It's not true. We don't become angels when we die. Right? I know those things are trying to be helpful, but I'm reading what people say to people in times of comfort, or trying to be comforting, sometimes it hurts. Just a little side note. However, we really, truly wrestled with the question, does prayer change anything? Can our prayers change God's mind? Well, to say that prayer can change God's mind is saying that we have a better idea than what God had, which is impossible. Or we are saying that God gives in like a dad who has a kid, that they're walking through Walmart for an hour, and the kid is constantly saying, I want this candy, I want this candy, I want this candy. And the dad's like, finally after an hour, like, take the candy, just get out of my face, right? That's not God. That's not how God acts. It doesn't seem right either. But if you read the rest of Luke 11, that's how it seems. And if we cannot change God's mind, should we ask God for anything, or should we just spend our time praising and worshiping Him? So around and around and around we went, and when I left, we had still not come up with a definite answer. And I asked the same question to my elders Wednesday night at the elders' meeting. And then again today at Sunday school class. And the thing is, it's hard. It's a rough question. And I felt frustrated and renewed at the same time. It's been a while since I felt that way. I'm kind of a sucker. I love that kind of feeling where I haven't figured it out, but I love talking about it, trying to figure things out. I love that. So you may leave here today with more questions than the answers, and I'm sorry about that. But I think it is good for us to wrestle with some things, to expand our minds with some things. You may leave here today not with everything wrapped up for you in a bow. And like I said, you may have figured this out way more than I have. I in no way believe that I know more than all of you do. So maybe you can teach me. So I guess all that to say is I'm sorry, not sorry, right? Not really sorry. It's okay. We can wrestle with some things. We can struggle with some things. And we can figure some things out together. So let me be honest. I'm still not sure. I still don't have it all figured out. Prayer is a mystery. I do not mean prayer is a mystery, so should we do it? No. If I'm sure of one thing, it's this. We need to pray. We need to pray. And so, what did we decide? Well, we still didn't have it figured out after a couple hours. Go figure. But we did agree on a few things. So here are those few things that we agreed on. One, why pray? Because Jesus told us to. Jesus said, when you pray like this. Verse 2, this is how you should pray. Implying what? You pray. We need to pray. In fact, we need to pray about praying more and with more focus. Jesus here gives us a model to pray. When he says, when you pray, or this is how you should pray, it is an imperative. It's a command. Like, there is no question that a follower of Jesus will pray. It is the same as the imperative found in the Great Commission, which is, therefore, go and make disciples, right? The language there is the image of wherever you are, just like you are continually breathing, you are continually making disciples of people. And just like you are breathing, you are continually making prayers to the Father. It's the same with prayer. You are continually praying. Jesus told us to. He expects us to. He himself did a lot. He prayed constantly. So why pray? We pray because Jesus told us to. The second thing is why pray is that prayer changes me. 1 John 5:14 through 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Prayer changes me. It aligns my heart with what is God's. Notice the verse doesn't say that he will do whatever we ask. It says if we ask according to his will. So if we ask what God has already promised or saying to us in his will, then he will do what we ask. It says that if we ask according to the whole point of our last series, Lean, and with this series, Rooted, the whole point of them is that we might be closer to God so that we might what? We might know his will. We might be closer to him. The more we lean on Jesus, the more rooted in him we are, the better we will know and trust him. The more we know the Son, the more we know the Father. The more we know the Father, the more we are aligned with his will. Does that make any sense? So pray, because prayer changes us. It transforms us by the renewing of our minds, by aligning our will with the will of God. I want my heart to be God's heart. I want to want the things that God wants for my life. My family, the world. The only way that happens is to spend time with him. Prayer and study. That's it. That's the only way. Look at verse 2. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. Keeping God's name holy is a me thing. His name is holy all the time, regardless of whether or not I realize it. However, I want to keep God's name holy in my life. We pray that God would be set apart in my daily life. We pray that we would be worshipful of God every day. We want to seek his counsel and wisdom daily. Why pray? Because prayer changes me. And the third one is, why pray? Because God acts when we pray. James 4:2 says, "Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it." Now, before you come to me and say, I did ask. I asked God that God would let me win the lottery. Or I asked that I could have a Porsche. I asked and God never gave it to me. Well, it says, remember, we are to ask for what God's will is. We are trying to become more like Jesus so that we can be more aligned with his will, his desires. Perhaps, I may be going out on a limb here, God's will isn't for you to win the lottery. His will isn't for you to own a $120,000 car. Verse 3, give us each day the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. When we pray, God acts. I love this illustration I found. It says this: a father plans to give his daughter a car when she turns 16. He knows by that time she will have a job, be active in church and school activities, and be able to pay for her own insurance. But he also plans to wait to give it until she asks for it, because he wants her to value such a gift. But at age 11, she begins to beg for a car. She pleads, bargains, and gets angry when on her 12th, 13th, and 14th birthday, there's still no car. She matures a bit and stops asking, but then at 16, she approaches her father in a more thoughtful way, explains her need for a car, and expresses her confidence that her dad will take care of this need. In a very short time, he joyfully hands her the keys, which my parents, that was like a $75 beater car. The back end was crushed, but it was a car. Did he change his mind? No. He had always planned to give it to her. Did she need to ask? Yeah. That was part of the decision. In a similar way, our Heavenly Father invites us to ask him for everything we need. He delights to give it to us when it is within his plan. He knows we don't always understand his timing, but he expects us to trust and not doubt. Like in Matthew 6, where Jesus tells that we need to not be like everyone else and just trust, because we know that God knows what we need before we even ask. Our prayers help to align our hearts with his heart until his will is our highest goal. Like the three times that Jesus asked God to remove the cup from him at the cross. You remember that? He promises to listen and grant the desires of our hearts when our hearts are wholly his. So those are the three things I know. So does my prayer change God's mind? Like I said, I still don't know exactly how that works. But I'll give you the take from the book of First Opinions that I have. I think sometimes he does. I'm not sure how it works out, but if he does, then he has every right to do it because he's God. I also think that the only time God would change his mind would be because it would be something that is already in his nature to do as a father. So he can choose to heal someone if he wants. He can restore someone if he wants to. He can save someone from certain death if he wants. He has shown over and over again that it is in his nature to do those things. Why he would heal one person and not another, I'm not sure. But I'm sure that he is good. I'm sure that he knows what he is doing. I'm sure that he is wiser than me, and I'm sure he holds the universe, this world, in his hands. And I could be wrong, but I'll continue to pray about it. I'll pray for understanding. Maybe I'll pray for understanding about how prayer works for the rest of my life. But the fact of the matter is, I will still pray. Because it helps me to become more like Jesus. So Jesus gave us a model of how to pray. The Lord's Prayer. And unlike a lot of high liturgy church, Jesus did not mean for us to pray that prayer every Sunday or every time we pray. Instead, he wanted us to use that prayer as a model. So use that model. Pray for us to keep him holy. Pray for God's kingdom to come soon. Pray that we can be a part of that, that we can help usher God's kingdom into earth. Pray that we would give, that God would give us what we need. Pray that he would forgive us, and like him, we would forgive other people and help us not to be tempted. It's a great model. If you want to pray, pray like that. If you want another model, maybe one you can remember easier, here it is. It's the ACTS model, A-C-T-S. I know most of you guys know this one off the top of your head. It's no big deal. But if you don't, here you go. The first letter, A, is for adoration. Tell God how much you appreciate him. Express your love for him. Praise his power and majesty. This is a great way to begin your prayer time. Watch the sunrise and praise God for the beauty of his creation. You should never run out of praise. Psalm 66:3 says, "How awesome are your deeds." Just adore God. Love him. Love on him. Tell him how thankful you are for him. So let's do that. We'll take 60 seconds. I know. We're going to take 60 seconds. Just pray a prayer of adoration to God. And go. The C stands for confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Tell him where you have fallen short. Be specific. Thank him for the forgiveness I have in Christ. Ask for help and strength to turn away from future temptation. Take a minute and just do that. The T stands for thanksgiving. Always glorify him with thanksgiving, Psalm 69:30. You have plenty of reasons to be thankful. Thank God for his love, for his faithfulness, for his patience, and a million other things. Express gratitude for what He's doing in your life. Thank Jesus for dying on the cross for you. Thank the Holy Spirit for indwelling in you, for never leaving you. Thank Him for being your conscience, your counselor, and that still small voice. Let's take a minute to thank God. And the last one is supplication, which is a big fancy word for ask God for stuff. Make your requests known to God, Philippians 4:6. Tell God what you want, no matter how small it seems, no matter how insignificant it is to you, or how you think it is to God. Ask. Do you really think any of your requests are too big for God? Too big for your Creator? Of course not. Ask God. Make your request known. Let's do that right now. God, we come to you today and we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the reason that we have life. We thank you for a reason to worship. We thank you for being good. We know you are good. We know you love us, and we know you watch over us, you take care of us. Father, we want to adore you. We want to confess to you, we want to thank you, and we want to make our request known to you. Father, not because you're a genie that's giving us everything we desire, but Father, because you are a Father, and you love us, and you love to give good gifts to your kids, and you love for your kids to come to you for advice, for thankfulness. We just want more of you, Father. We know that the way that we can get more of you, the way that we can just be more rooted in you, Father, is by just having a daily relationship with you, by speaking with you, by praying to you, Father, and that you answer and hear us no matter what. Father, may our will be more like yours. May our hearts be more like yours. Father, we know that it is prayer that helps us with that. So, Father, we come to you humbly asking for more of you and less of us. We ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son, the giver of all good things. Amen. We have a decision to make today. We invite you to come forward and make a decision. Whether it be a decision to know Jesus, a decision to be baptized, a decision to just be more in prayer with God, more in relationship with God. We invite you to make that decision as well. If you have any decision to make, we invite you to come forward while our praise band sings.